Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 515 through 528.
As an entrepreneur, my days were often chaotic and nonstop. By the time I locked up my laptop each evening, my brain felt like it had run a marathon. The one thing I valued more than anything was my quiet nights at home. My place in Phoenix wasn't extravagant, but it was mine, a two-story house in a suburban neighborhood that felt secure and predictable. Until that October night, I had no reason to question that. It was a Thursday, the kind of evening where you sink into the couch, finally letting the silence wash over you. I'd finished a long day filled with client meetings and emails, and I was looking forward to nothing more than binge-watching my favorite show with a glass of wine. The house was quiet, the kind of stillness you only appreciate when you're truly alone. I didn't realize how fragile that peace was. At around midnight, just as I was considering heading upstairs to bed, my phone buzzed. It wasn't a call or text, but a notification from my home security app. Backdoor alarm triggered. My first thought was that it had to be a false alarm. These systems were notoriously finicky, and it wasn't the first time it had gone off for no apparent reason. I opened the app, saw the alert, and without much thought, deactivated the alarm. Probably a bird or something, I muttered, convincing myself it was nothing. I climbed into bed, the sound of the air conditioner lulling me into a light doze. But then I heard a muffled thud. My eyes snapped open. At first, I thought it might have been the wind knocking something over outside. Phoenix wasn't known for wild storms, but gusts weren't uncommon this time of year. Holding my breath, I focused hard to listen beyond the sound of the AC. Then came another sound. This one wasn't vague or easy to dismiss. It was like the scrape of something heavy being dragged across the wooden floor downstairs. My chest tightened as a dozen rational explanations ran through my head, each one less convincing than the last. I slid out of bed and quietly locked the door to my bedroom. My mind raced through what to do next. I'd taken precautions. Every door and window had sensors. My phone was connected to the security system, and I even kept a firearm in the bedside drawer. But none of that felt particularly comforting now. The idea of someone being in the house felt like a violation I wasn't prepared for. Another noise. This time sharper, like a chair being knocked over. I grabbed my phone and dialed 911. I whispered my address to the dispatcher and explained what I'd heard. They assured me officers were on their way. I added, "Please tell them not to use lights or sirens. If someone's inside, they'll hear it." The dispatcher's calm tone was both reassuring and surreal. She stayed on the line as I retrieved the gun from the drawer and positioned myself in the furthest corner of the room, the phone balanced on my knee. Every second felt like an hour. The creaks and groans of the house had taken on a sinister edge, as if the walls themselves were conspiring against me. I heard faint footsteps on the stairs. My grip on the gun tightened as adrenaline surged through my veins. Whoever it was wasn't rushing. They were taking their time. I could barely breathe as I listened, my mind conjuring images of who could be on the other side of the door. Was it one person? More? Suddenly, the footsteps stopped. Silence. The kind of silence that's louder than any noise. Then, a quiet knock on the bedroom door. Not forceful, just a soft knock. My hand trembled as I aimed the gun at the door, willing myself not to panic. The dispatcher's voice was still in my ear, steady and grounding. "Officers are almost there," she said. A minute later, I heard movement outside. The sound of car doors opening and closing, followed by muffled voices. The police were here. Relief flooded me. There was a commotion downstairs. Shouts, the sound of something heavy hitting the floor, and then silence again. Finally, a voice called out, "Phoenix PD, it's safe to come out." I opened the door cautiously, gun still in hand, and stepped into the hallway. An officer met me at the top of the stairs, his expression serious but calm. "We've got them," he said. "Two men. They were downstairs when we came in." My knees nearly buckled as I followed him to the living room. Two men sat handcuffed on the floor, their faces grim. One of the officers explained that they'd entered through the back door, which they'd managed to unlock somehow. "They said they thought no one was home because there wasn't a car in the driveway," the officer added. Then it hit me. I'd lent my car to my brother earlier that week while his was in the shop. To these men, an empty driveway meant an empty house. The police searched the house and found a crowbar and zip ties in the men's bag. One officer pulled me aside and said, "You did everything right, locking yourself in the room, calling us. That probably saved you tonight." The weight of his words didn't hit me until hours later, when I was sitting in a hotel room, too shaken to return home. I replayed every moment in my mind. The alarm, the quiet knock on the door, the slow footsteps. That shattered any sense of safety I'd had. In the following weeks, I had a reinforced security system installed, along with motion-activated cameras. But even with all those precautions, I still find myself lying awake some nights, trying to hear the silence. Because once you've felt that kind of vulnerability, it never really leaves you. Being alone at night used to feel like a luxury, a chance to escape the noise of the world. Now it's a reminder that peace can be deceiving and safety is never guaranteed.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
The day my parents decided to go on a ski trip for the weekend, I was more than happy to stay home alone. As a 28-year-old grad student buried in research, the quiet house in our suburban Atlanta neighborhood was the perfect place to catch up on studying. They'd packed their things and waved goodbye Friday morning, leaving me with their parting instructions. Don't forget to water the plants, lock the doors, and of course, stay safe. On the first evening, I curled up on the couch with my laptop, a stack of textbooks, and some leftover pizza. Every now and then, the sound of a car passing or a dog barking gave the silence a little life. By the time I went to bed, I was feeling good about my progress and excited for a productive weekend. That excitement didn't last long. On Saturday night, I was at the kitchen table, surrounded by notes and sipping on my third cup of coffee. The house was eerily still, the kind of quiet that's almost loud. It was nearing midnight when the phone rang. At first, I didn't think much of it. Our landline rarely rang these days, but I figured it might be my parents checking in. I answered with a casual hello, but was met with nothing but silence on the other end. Hello? I repeated, leaning closer to the receiver. Still nothing. Just the faint sound of static. I frowned, hung up, and shrugged it off as a wrong number. But it left an odd feeling that stayed with me for the rest of the night. The next evening, I was deep into my notes when the phone rang again. This time, I hesitated before picking up. Hello? I asked, more cautious now. A moment of silence, then a whisper, I can see you. I felt sick to my core as I hung up immediately and stared at the phone. After a minute of tense silence, I forced myself to look out the window. The street outside was empty except for a single street lamp casting its pale glow onto the pavement. But then I saw it, a figure standing just outside the circle of light, barely more than a silhouette. I blinked, and they were gone. I convinced myself it wasn't as strange as it seemed. Maybe it was a prank, some bored teenager trying to scare the neighborhood, but I couldn't rid myself of the tension, making it hard to focus. I checked the locks 3 times before going to bed, but every little noise in the house only heightened my anxiety. Monday night brought an eerie stillness. I threw myself into my work, drowning out the unease with music and caffeine. Around 9 p.m., I heard a soft tapping sound coming from the living room. I stiffened, every muscle tense. It came again, light, like someone gently tapping on the window pane. My hands trembled as I crept toward the source. I peeked around the corner, but the living room was empty. The tapping had stopped. Then, just as I started to relax, a louder knock echoed through the house, this time at the front door. I grabbed a kitchen knife and inched closer to the peephole, but when I looked outside, no one was there. The porch light illuminated an empty yard. The phone rang again, breaking the silence. I snatched it up, adrenaline coursing through me. Who is this? What do you want? This time, the whisper was slower. Check the porch. My whole body tensed, warning me not to look, but curiosity pulled me in. I peered through the frosted glass pane of the front door, and for a split second, I thought I saw movement. My stomach churned as I dialed 911, explaining the situation to the dispatcher. She promised to send an officer right away. When the police arrived, the porch was empty. They searched the property but found no evidence of anyone lurking around. One officer suggested it might be kids playing a prank. I nodded, pretending to agree, but deep down I knew something was wrong. Tuesday night was the worst. Around midnight, I saw him again. The same figure from before, standing under the street lamp. But something was different. His clothes and even his hair looked changed. I turned off the lights and peeked through the curtains, watching as he stood there. Then, just as suddenly as before, he disappeared into the shadows. An hour later, he came back. This time, he looked completely different. A new jacket, a beanie pulled low over his forehead. He stood closer to the house. His face was veiled by the shadows. The phone rang again, but I didn't answer. The sound of the phone ringing over and over felt like it was mocking me. I stayed up all night, too scared to sleep, clutching a kitchen knife and keeping all the lights off. By the time the sun rose, I was exhausted but relieved the night was over. I opened the front door to get some fresh air and stopped dead in my tracks. Scattered across the porch were photographs of me. Each picture was taken through the window, me at the kitchen table, me sitting on the couch, me standing at the sink. My hands shook as I gathered them up, my mind racing with questions. Who had taken these? How long had they been watching? I called the police again, this time handing over the photos as evidence. They took my statement and promised to patrol the area more frequently. But there wasn't much they could do without a clear suspect. That was the last night I stayed alone in the house. My parents came home the next day, and I told them everything. They were horrified and immediately had security cameras installed. It's been months, but that creeping sensation of being observed won't go away. Whoever it was, they weren't just a prankster. They wanted me to feel vulnerable, to know they could see me whenever they wanted. And that's a fear I'll never forget. When you bartend at a downtown Austin dive bar, the nights are loud, the tips can be great, and the walk home is usually peaceful and predictable, if a bit eerie in the early morning hours. By the time my shift ended on that particular October night, I was exhausted, ready to head back to my small apartment and crash. The streets were quiet, disturbed only by the sporadic honk or muffled music drifting from nearby bars. I took my usual route through a few side streets, enjoying the cool autumn air. It was then that I noticed it. A clown mask, lying face up on the sidewalk. It was one of those cheap plastic ones you'd find at a dollar store. The eyes were dark holes, and the painted smile stretched unnaturally wide. For a split second, I thought someone had dropped it while heading to a Halloween party. But the more I looked at it, the more unsettling it became. There was something off about how it just sat there, perfectly positioned under the glow of a street lamp. I shook off the unease, chuckling to myself. "It's just a mask," I muttered, shaking my head and keeping my pace. But the image of it stayed with me the entire walk home. The next night, I closed up the bar again and began my usual trek back. This time, as I approached my apartment building, I froze. Across the street, standing perfectly still, was someone wearing the exact same mask. They were facing my window. My apartment was on the second floor, so at first, I thought they might be looking at someone else's place. But as I reached the front door and looked up, the realization hit me. They were staring into my window. My living room light was on. "Maybe it's a prank," I thought, trying to convince myself. College kids or someone filming a TikTok. Still, I felt the hair on the back of my neck rise. I hurried inside, locked the door, and turned off the lights. From the safety of the darkness, I peeked out the window. The masked figure was still there, completely motionless. After a few minutes, they turned and walked away. The next day, I told myself I'd been overreacting. People do weird things around Halloween, I reasoned, but it felt too personal. That night, I tried to shake the tension and focused on my shift. It was busy, a typical Friday crowd, and by the time I clocked out, I felt more grounded. But as I approached my building, my heart sank. The masked figure was back, standing in the same spot across the street. This time, they were holding something, what looked like a small notebook. My palms grew slick as I fumbled for my keys, trying to act like I hadn't noticed them. Inside, I locked the door again, double-checked it, and pulled the blinds shut. I couldn't help myself. I peeked out through a small gap in the curtain. The figure had moved closer, standing just across the street now, directly below the street lamp. Over the next few nights, the pattern repeated. Every time I walked home, the masked figure appeared somewhere near my building. Sometimes they stood under the street lamp, other times closer to my window. They never moved when I was watching, but their presence was impossible to ignore. My anxiety grew with each passing day. I started checking over my shoulder constantly during my walks home. One night, I decided to take a different route back. I figured, if they couldn't predict where I'd be, they'd lose interest. But as I rounded the corner of my street, I stopped dead in my tracks. The figure was already there, waiting. They tilted their heads slightly, as if acknowledging my attempt to evade them. That's when I noticed something new. They were carrying a small, black bag. I debated calling the police, but what could I say? Someone in a clown mask is standing outside my apartment? They hadn't done anything overtly threatening yet. But it was clear they weren't just some random prankster. They were waiting for something. For me. That night, I barely slept. Every time I started to drift off, I'd hear faint noises in the hallway. Around 3 a.m., I finally got up and checked the peephole. The hallway was empty, but I could feel my chest tightening with unease. Then, just as I turned to go back to bed, I heard a slow knock on my front door. I froze, staring at the door, expecting it to burst open. I grabbed my phone and dialed 911. Whispering to the dispatcher, I explained the situation. "Someone's knocking on my door. I think it's the same person who's been stalking me." The operator assured me officers were on the way. In the meantime, I sat on the floor, my back against the wall, far from the door. The knocking continued, then stopped. I tried to hear any movement, but there was only silence. When the police arrived, the figure was gone. They found no signs of forced entry, but the officers did discover something chilling. The black bag had been left on my doorstep. Inside was the clown mask. I moved out of that apartment the next week. To this day, I don't know who they were or what they wanted. The landlord installed security cameras after I left, but I never followed up to see if they caught anything. Some nights, when I'm walking home late from work, I catch myself looking over my shoulder, expecting to see that mask again. Whoever they weren't just trying to scare me. They wanted me to know they were watching. And that's a kind of fear that stays with you forever. If you've ever worked the graveyard shift, you know it's a weird vibe. The world feels different when most of it is asleep. I'd been hosting a late-night radio show in Portland for about a year, and while I love the freedom of being the sole voice on the airwaves, it could get lonely sometimes. But the thing about loneliness, you learn to embrace it, or at least I thought I had. It was a cold December night, the kind where the rain clings to your jacket and the wind cuts straight through you. I arrived at the station around 11 p.m., my usual caffeine-loaded energy drink in hand. The building was as lifeless as ever, the fluorescent lights humming louder than any conversation I'd had there in months. My show started at midnight, and the routine was simple. Play some tracks, chat about whatever, take the occasional caller. Pretty low-key. Everything started as usual. I queued up some indie rock, cracked a few jokes about the weather, and read a bizarre news story about someone trying to steal a live reindeer from a Christmas market. It was all going fine, until the first call came in. It was just past 12:30 a.m. when the phone rang. Calls weren't uncommon, but they were rare enough that I got a little excited when the line lit up. "Good evening. You're on the air," I said, my usual sarcasm dripping from my voice. Nothing, just static. "Hello? You there?" I tried again. The static crackled for a moment, and then the line went dead. I rolled my eyes and moved on, chalking it up to someone accidentally dialing the station number. Happens more than you'd think. About 20 minutes later, the phone rang again. This time, I hesitated before answering. Something about the static from the first call had stuck with me, but I shook it off. "You're live on KPLX," I said, trying to sound chipper. Static again. But this time, there was something else. A whisper, too garbled to make out. "Hello? If you're trying to reach us, you might need to adjust your phone or speak up," I said, forcing a laugh. The whispering grew louder, just for a second. It was still unintelligible, but the sound of it made my skin crawl. The line clicked off. I sat the receiver down. "Weird," I muttered to myself and went back to my playlist. I tried not to think about it, but every time I looked at the phone, a strange sense of discomfort prickled at the edges of my thoughts. The third call came in at 1:15 a.m. By then, the station was dead silent except for the music pumping through the soundboard. "All right," I said, picking up the phone. "You've got my attention. What's up?" The static was there again, but it was quieter now. And then, clear as day, a voice whispered my name. "Matt." My grip on the phone tightened. "Who is this?" I demanded, my voice sharper than I'd intended. The whisper came again, this time slower. "Matt, you dropped your pen." I froze. My gaze flicked to the desk where, sure enough, my pen was lying on the floor, exactly where I dropped it earlier. My mind raced. There was no way they could have known that. The studio was empty. The only windows were high up on the walls, and they were covered with thick blinds. I slammed the receiver down, my heart thudding harder than I cared to admit. Whoever it was, they weren't guessing. They were watching me. For the next hour, I couldn't focus. Every time I tried to speak on air, I stumbled over my words. My eyes kept darting around the room, searching for cameras or some explanation for how the caller knew what I'd done. At 2:10 a.m., the phone rang again. I stared at it, willing it to stop. It rang four times before I picked it up, and then I heard the static, softer now, almost like a whisper. And then the voice spoke again. "Look outside." My blood ran cold. For a moment, I debated ignoring it, but I think stupidity got the better of me. I grabbed the flashlight from the desk drawer and made my way to the lobby. The front doors were glass, but the rain had fogged them up, obscuring the view outside. I hesitated, then slowly shined the flashlight toward the doors. For a moment, I saw nothing but the distorted reflection of my own face. But then, just beyond the glass, a figure stepped into view. They were wearing a dark hoodie, their face obscured by the shadow of the hood. In their hand, I could just make out the shape of a phone. They were standing perfectly still, the rain dripping off their jacket. And then, as if sensing my gaze, they raised the phone to their ear. The lobby phone rang. I bolted back to the studio, slamming the door behind me and locking it. My breathing was ragged, my thoughts a mess. I grabbed my personal phone and called the station manager, leaving a frantic voicemail about someone outside. Then I called the police. By the time the officers arrived, the figure was gone. They searched the area and checked the security footage. What they found made my stomach churn. The cameras had caught the figure standing outside the station for nearly an hour, pacing back and forth before finally stopping at the door. They'd been talking on the phone the entire time. When the police reviewed the footage further, they noticed something even stranger. Around 1:15 a.m., the exact moment the caller had mentioned my dropped pen, the figure had looked directly at the camera and smiled. I took the next week off, claiming I was sick. When I finally returned to work, I asked to switch to the daytime shift. I haven't done a graveyard show since. Whoever that person was, they wanted me to know I wasn't as alone as I thought. And that's a feeling I'll carry with me every time I step into a studio. If these alone at night horrors sent shivers down your spine, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe for more terrifying tales. What would you have done if it were you? Drop your thoughts in the comments. We want to hear all about it. Share this video with a friend who says they're fearless at night and see if they still agree. Remember, the dark isn't always empty, and being alone doesn't always mean you're safe. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next nightmare.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.